You are listening to the Myth TV Cast. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Myth TV Cast. My name's Pat Davila. With this is my co-host, Dan Fry, on the phone.
How's it going, Pat?
Excellent, excellent. Well, you're calling in tonight. You know, I'm getting over being sick. My youngest is sick. My oldest boy was sick, too. He was the one who brought the sickness from school and just gave it to the rest of us. So I'm still recovering. I feel a lot better today. A few days ago, I wasn't feeling so hot. But it's out of the system. I'm feeling good. OLF was an absolute blast. I had a great time there. Get to hang out with a lot of cool people that we know. Got to meet some people that I've known on the internet and actually got to meet them for the first time in person. That was very cool. Lots of great talks. Excellent as usual. What else? We got to do a buff.
Yeah, it was first off I want to say that, you know, I'm glad you know when you told me you were sick the other day that it wasn't the swine flu outbreak that they apparently were talking about at OLF that happened after the fact. So, yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
So glad to hear that. Glad to hear you're okay and everything.
Yeah, apparently somebody at OLF reported to the organizers that they had the swine flu. So that's always scary. I mean,
yeah. It's
not as bad as originally swine flu, but it's you know, you think about it, it's the same as any other flu. You know, people that have, like, certain medical conditions
are
more susceptible to it. But still, you don't want to get sick. You don't want to bring it home to your family. But it was isolated, and that only lasts, you know, a few days, and then, you know, you get past it, and that's that. But, no, I didn't have the swine flu. We got to do the bop.
That's good to hear. Good to hear.
Yeah, we got to do a Myth TV bop.
I tell you what, though. That actually turned out great, I thought. You know, and this was my first time, you know, going to OLF, and I really had a blast. Everything that we did, I mean, it was smooth sailing from the time we left in the morning till we got out there, I tell you what, I just had a blast meeting everybody and hanging out with everybody. You know, all the talks, I did get to go to a lot of the talks, you know, a lot of the sessions that were there going on all day. Plus, we did have the BOF. We had a good turnout, you know, with the BOF. If people haven't heard it already, you posted it, right? It's out there.
Yeah, it was actually the last episode. So anybody subscribed to the
feed,
it was a good conversation. We didn't have a huge room.
Right.
I'd say we had about 15 people in there, maybe, and it was a real good conversation.
Yeah, and people were coming and going as they saw. Yeah, we had a good conversation.
It was enjoyable. You know, honestly, after that, I also did the Android BOF, and the Android BOF, I had about 70 people in there. It was much, you know, a bigger room.
Holy cow, really?
Yeah, yeah. The thing was, the conversation during the Myth BOF was much better. You know, it was more, you know, more people talking, you know, people are asking questions and giving feedback. It was a little better, I thought. But the Android bread wasn't horrible, but the Myth TV one was better, I thought.
Right.
But it was a blast again, you know, absolutely great time. And I actually had a bunch of people ask me stuff about Myth, which was cool.
That's great.
Yeah, so we got a lot.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
It was
there.
A great time.
Definitely, definitely looking forward to going back.
Yeah, I think I don't know if I do go back next year, which I probably will. I'm gonna see maybe if I can apply for a talk, maybe do a presentation. But anyhow, we got lots.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got some emails since the last time we had an episode. I'll start with the first one. We got one from Mobius. Mobius says, "Pat, have you gotten to watch anything 720p or higher on your new Ion front end? If so, how was it playing?" Absolutely, Mobius. I've been watching HD on it, and it looks great. I've got some MPEG-2 content. That looks fantastic. It works great, 720 and 1080i. And I also got some sample recordings, H.264s, high def. Looks great. I'm really happy with my Ion front end. Just a side note, I was playing around a little bit with XBMC on it, and that's a real nice application there, XBMC. They have a plugin for Myth so that you're able to watch your Myth TV programs. Supposedly, you know, you'll get like commercial skipping and stuff. I tried using it, and for some reason, I was able to see my programs in a listing, and when I wanted to watch the shows, it would just hang, so I could not get that to work. I didn't give it much time. Maybe I'll go back to it and see if I can get it working again. But XBMC is a real nice application. Very nice stuff those guys are doing. If someone wants just like a media front end without recording capability, that's definitely one to check out. That and Boxy are two of the big ones to check out. Let's see what else. Right. What else we got?
Boxy, is that a fork?
Yes, it is.
Is Boxy a fork of XBMC?
Yeah.
I tried Boxy running on my desktop, and because my MythBox is a 64-bit box, and there's no Boxy
exactly,
for it,
yeah.
I was going to try to run them parallel just to see. But so I tried loading it up on my desktop and tried using the Myth plugin, and I couldn't get it to work whatsoever. So, I mean, the only way that I could actually get to anything then was just to do like an NFS mount over to it. So at the time, at least when I was looking at Boxy, the plugin didn't seem to be working correctly for Myth.
Right. Yeah. So hopefully they've resolved that, or maybe I'm doing something wrong with XBMC, but that it's really nice. Very nice. I was impressed by it. Another email we got one from Tim. He had some comments about when we were talking about master and slave backend systems. He says, guys, let me start out by introducing myself. My name's Tim. I'm moderator editor at missingremote.com. I'm not a developer, but I've been running Myth TV on my systems at home for a number of years now. I believe I started around version 0.17, so he's a long-time user. I've been listening to one of your recent podcasts. One of your comments confused me a little bit. Basically, what you said, that if you have multiple systems loaded as front ends, you can watch shows that have already been recorded onto the server without issue. However, you continued to say that if you wanted to watch live TV on a front end, that front end would need its own local back end with its own tuner. This is not correct. The only requirement I'm aware of is that you have enough tuners and your back end support every live TV feed you want to watch. For example, in my server, I've got 3 Hophog PVR X50s and able to service 2 front ends plus have another for recordings and 1 live feed plus 2 scheduled recordings. All 3 tuners are in my master backend, and I do not have any backend set up on any of my front ends. Please disregard if this is a misunderstood comment. I think there is a little bit of a misunderstanding, Tim. You have your own front end. A front end doesn't have to have a locally run backend running on it. The whole point of having a front-end system is that you're going to connect to another box that's running as a back-end that has your capture cards in them. So I guess there was a little confusion in the way we were talking about it at the time. But you're absolutely right in the way you describe it. You're only limited to how many capture devices you have in your back-end system to watch live feeds.
And I went back and forth with Tim in some emails regarding this email, and I kind of explained to him more or less where I was coming from when I was talking about that in that last live show that we were doing, in that I wanted to run a secondary backend in a remote machine that was going to be connecting over a wireless network that I didn't want to be sending the live stream from the recording over the wireless network to the front end at the same time as anybody else trying to do anything else on the network. Now, I haven't upgraded to wireless N yet, and hopefully that would resolve some of that stuff. But that's why I was explaining that to him about how I wanted to set that up based upon the setup that I have here in the house. And so and after that we were both kind of in agreement with what I was talking about. Plus, by the way, his website is pretty awesome. They review a lot of neat stuff out there, and they have a lot of interesting stuff out there. I was sending him a message on one of the pieces that I saw was a nice little infrared receiver that sits in between your power switch and the lead on the board that allows you to use the remote control to power on and off one of your machines. That's something I'm going to be picking up hopefully in the near future and updating some of my machines with it, because that just seems like a nice little nice to have thing. You could just hit the button on the remote, it powers it right on. You don't have to worry about it then.
Yeah, that's pretty cool the way you describe it. We got another email from Todd. Todd actually gave us a pretty long email. He says, I use Myth a bit differently than most. I rarely sit in front of the TV, so I just use Myth to record a few shows a week and watch them on my computer later using either streaming from MythWeb or over a network share using the Myth renamed Perl script. Since the MythBox does not have to do playback, I can use an old computer. Yeah, a lot of people actually do that. They'll have a machine that's like not that beefy just to do the recording. So that's not unheard of for people to do something like that. And then he says, I have 2 separate Myth TV systems. The first had a PVR-150 capturing analog cable. I now have an HD home run recording over the air. The quality of the HD over the air is astounding. You should pick up an antenna and try it. I use an antenna I made from wood and coat hangers, and it works better than the $30 amplified antenna I bought. says there were two issues with the HD Home Run. HD Home Run has to have a DHCP server running on your home network. This is true. Most users connect the HD Home Run to a router, so this shouldn't be a problem. But since I connected the HD Home Run directly to the MythBox, I had to install a DHCP server. Also, when I would scan for channels, I would get a no table font error. I found a mailing list entry when someone had a similar issue and fixed it by installing a longer antenna cable. I have no idea why, but going from a 3-foot to a 10-foot coax solved the problem for me. That's a pretty weird issue, I have to say. Let me see. He was talking about some of the issues that he had done installing Mythbuntu, where he would have some recordings and then the machine would boot up, and then he wouldn't see the recordings when he went to his recordings menu. And apparently that was like related to some kind of bug with Network Manager starting up. And he says, I upgraded to Karmic and all my scheduled recordings showed back up. No other issues so far using Karmic Beta. And then he goes on to talk about different file systems to use for recordings. You know, what are the differences between, say, EXT3 and XFS? I've used XFS in the past. XFS is really geared for large files. Honestly, it's actually very good as a Myth recording partition. I've used it in the past. EXT3 and EXT4 have gotten so good that, honestly, the advantages that you had, you know, using XFS years ago aren't that great anymore. And to be honest, performance-wise, it's negligible. I've been using EXT3 mostly for the last few installs that I've done, and I haven't had any issues with standard def or high def at all. So I see no need to use XFS at all, but it's fine at XFS if you want to use it.
I believe that the Mythbuntu disk will automatically, you know, take the bulk of the drive and partition it as an XFS partition.
Oh, is that what it does by default?
I'm actually going to check my box right now. Yeah.
I'll start talking about the HD Home Run. I actually picked one of these up a few weeks back. It's probably been about a month already. And I've been very happy with it. I've been using it with CAM, digital cable, with the unencrypted channels. It's a dual-tuner box. It lists for like 175, but it goes on, honestly, for around 150, 145 is what I got it for. You'll see some sales for it for around 125. And it's a great addition to any Myth setup. I've been very happy with it. As Todd was saying in his email, there is a requirement that you have to have a DHCP server giving out IP addresses when the box turns on. So if you have a router with that, you could just flip that on. If you don't have that, you're going to have to set up a box to act as a DHCP server. But that's the only negative thing that I found that I thought was maybe a little annoying, but not a big deal. It seems to work pretty well. I've setting it up is like setting up any other CAM capture device. You know, you do a scan, you'll get your frequencies, and then you got to resolve it in your channel table. You know, we've talked about that in previous episodes about doing CAM setups. So it's the same kind of deal. The only difference is that there's two tuners, so you have to do the scans twice. The channel table setup, you only do it once because you're just assigning it frequencies. So that's a single setup. But you have to do the scans twice, and they will show up as two separate tuners in your system. You know, HD Home Run is a great box. It's supported in Myth for a long time. It's supported in a bunch of other media applications as well. A lot of people like it. One of the cool things about it is it's very well supported under Linux. The company seems to have a very good relationship with the community. There's a if you go to the Silicon Dust HD Home Run site, they have a link to a page in the Ubuntu documentation site, and it's fantastic. Very well documented. Lots of good examples. They walk you through setting it up. There's actually an application that does channel scanning. It's like a command line app that's actually in the Ubuntu repositories, so you could just do an apt-get to install it. There is also a GUI for this app. But that part is the GUI piece. You have to go to SourceForge to download it, and I downloaded it. It's GTK-based, and it's real nice. You fire it up, and what it'll do is you can go through your channel's frequencies on the two different tuners and scan through. And if you have VLC installed on your system, you can click to watch the channel, and VLC will fire up to the channel, and you can actually watch it through VLC. So it's a real nice application, really easy to get going, very simple, straightforward. All my recordings, I've recorded a ton of stuff with it. I've tried doing some HD shows at the same time. You know, no problems whatsoever over my network. Basically, what it does is it'll start tuning it. It's connected to your router. It'll start pushing the traffic over your network. You can hear it when it's recording on the main MythBox. You'll hear the hard drive turning, you know, while it's recording. But I had two HD shows recording, and I was watching another HD show. No problems whatsoever. It was real nice. I was very impressed. I also did a triple record, too.
Very nice.
I did two HDs on the HD Home Run and one standard def on the PVR 150. And no problems whatsoever. The only thing is if all three tuners are being recorded on, you won't be able to watch anything live, but who's really going to do that? And the quality of the recordings have been excellent. I've recorded a ton of shows, maybe, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, in that range. And out of all those shows, I saw maybe one where there was, like, pixelization for, like, a second. Other than that, they've been perfect, everything. So I've been very happy with it. The quality's good, no issues with, like, signal degradation or anything. I put in a new splitter switch to run lines to the box. I have it sitting in my server room next to my my cable modem and my router. It's working great, man. Absolutely fantastic setup. Highly recommended box. HD Home Run. Well worth it. If you see it for $125 on a sale, man, recommend getting it. It's a great little box.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I really like it. So, you know, once 022 comes out, 022 isn't out yet. The last time we recorded a regular show was, I think, when was it? It was like a week before OLF. It was the weekend before OLF, so it was like the 19th or the 20th around there. We knew that, you know, they announced when they wanted to get it out. They said they were going to try to get it out before the end of September. They haven't hit that. You know, we're recording on Sunday, October 11th, so they haven't released yet. So they're getting very close. If you go to the MythTV site, mythtv.org site, and you go to submit a bug, you go in there, and then you can view all the open tickets. And you click on the report. It says view tickets by milestone. And then you'll see all the tickets, all the different treble tickets for the releases that are on the development, including 22. And the number of bugs has gone down significantly. Mm-hmm. You know, for the longest time, it was like in the 50-60 range. I believe they're below 30 now. So they're pushing pretty hard. So I would imagine a release is pretty imminent. I don't think it would go more than 2 weeks more. End of October, the absolute latest, I think. So they're very,
that's awesome.
They're very.
I can't wait. I'm really waiting for 22 to come out. I'm so looking forward to it. VDPAU and all these new features that are available. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The big thing is the PVR 1212. I'm also looking forward to the all the new Qt4 interface changes. All that stuff is. I'm really excited.
Oh, definitely.
It really needs a refresh. It's been don't get me wrong, the interface, the Myth is great. You know, it's very standard compared to like what are the other applications are doing, including the commercial ones like Sage TV and whatnot. But it needs a shot of pizzazz, I think. You look at like what Boxy's doing and what XBMC is doing in their front ends, the theming engines that they have and stuff, and the customizations people have done. It needs to be updated, and I think 22 is really going to update it, and people are going to be really. They're going to be wowed at what you can do and how it looks and functions now. So it's pretty exciting.
By the way, I did do a check there. It by default, Mythbuntu will partition 12 gigabytes in EXT3, and then the rest of it goes with XFS.
Oh, there you go. So if you're running Mythbuntu, your recordings by default are XFS. We were talking previously about our cable provider, RCN. They're killing the analog fee, and they've been doing it in staged pieces, depending on the areas that you live in, where we are in the Lehigh Valley. And your area got hit already, right, Dan?
Yeah, I announced the other day and on my different, you know, micro blogs and whatnot that are out there that was the day. Thursday, October 8th was the day that they cut over in my area. I knew I was going to have to kind of reset up everything at this point. Just more or less from a capture standpoint, I was going to need to reconfigure everything, make sure that everything was still working correctly. First thing, of course, was to go out to make sure that Schedules Direct had the new lineups in. They did. I believe now because they're doing these things in micro stages, I'll say. Allentown, Pennsylvania had its own separate listing. So imagine, Pat, you know, you'll have a separate listing for you. For when you, I think you said yours is what, the 22nd of October,
yeah,
is when you're going to get it, or 28th or something like that.
I got a card in the mail, and they said October 29th is when they're going to cut it off. So one of the big
29th.
Things, yeah, one of the big okay. things is they're you know they killed the analog channels. They're adding a whole bunch of HD. They say they're going to be 100 channels of HD.
Right.
Which is great. I'm looking forward to that because we've gone from 30 to 100. That's a huge jump. One of the annoying things, like you said, is they're reordering all the channels and everything. I'm looking at the program guide that they sent out.
Oh, that's going to be a pain in the ass, yeah.
It looks like all the HD channels are now above 1,000. So.
And that actually caused me a problem right off the bat with my FireWire capture. For some reason, when you because I didn't have any special script in there or anything like that to do my channel changing, because the FireWire just seemed to handle it however it was doing it. But when I went in to say change to channel 1006, which is the new ABC HD channel, it was resolving to 6, which. Okay, that's fine. It's changing it to the same content. So in other words, it was still changing it to ABC, but it wasn't changing it to the high definition version of ABC anymore. So I started looking into this as to why this might be happening. I posted something out on the MythTV developers mailing list. I hadn't heard anything back from that yet. I posted stuff out on the MythBuntu forums. I wanted to see if anybody knew of any settings that were available to allow it to send in 4, you know, channel signals versus 3. Nothing seemed to come out of that. So I did start looking around to see if anybody, you know, if there were any external channel changing scripts that were out there. And if you look at his handle on the MythBuntu, well, on the Ubuntu forums and under specifically the MythBuntu portion of it is Major Idiot. I really want to thank this guy. You know, he put together this channel changing script.
His name is Major Idiot. Or you're calling yourself
that
a Major Idiot.
Really works for. No, that's his handle. That's his handle out there. But he's got some other. I believe he actually, if I recall, one of my conversations with the other MythBuntu developers, that he actually, you know, wrote a lot of the FireWire stuff that's taken place inside of there. But he has this great. You know, little script that can handle any set-top box. You don't have to do anything. It'll automatically detect it. You can force it, which is what I ended up having to do because by default it also wouldn't change to 4 channels, so 1006, for instance. So I could force it to a Motorola fast setting, which was then able to pass in all 4 channels, and I was able to get everything back for high definition. Now, because of my past experience with it, I also found that, you know, a lot of their digital tiers that RCN offered, I didn't have access to. All the extra high-definition stuff outside of, like, you know, ABC, CBS, Fox, CW, PBS, you know, I really wasn't able to get access to a lot of that stuff. I believe we talked one time about, you know, a while back that you could get, like, ESPN2 in HD, but you couldn't get ESPN in HD.
Right, right. We went
through the MythBox, through the FireWire, and we both agreed that that was kind of odd. Well, now I decided since I have all these extra channels out there, I'm just going to re-enable them all in the MythWeb interface and see what happens. See if I can get access to our local Comcast Sportsnet, for instance, so I can watch the Phillies win the World Series again, right? If I want to watch, you know, record something on the Food Network or on Discovery HD or something like that, I wanted to see if I could get access to all those. And to my surprise, I can access all of that, and I was really surprised to see that considering how locked down it was before FireWire.
How many HD channels and how many standard def channels do you think? Because previously, where I'm at now, I can get 6 HD, which are basically the over-the-air stations, you know, the network stations, and maybe another 5 or 6 standard def stations, too. So what's open now?
Everything. I don't want to say everything because I haven't tried like HBO yet or any of the premium channels. I'm assuming they're not going to work still, which is really going to push me to get a Hotbox 1212.
But that's great that if they
HD PVR.
I hope they keep them open and it's not a temporary thing because that'll suck if they go from like what's your estimate?
Me too. I'm afraid.
What's your estimate of how many HD stations are open?
Like I said, so far it's been every channel that I've switched to. I tried switching my daughter likes a lot of the Disney shows. I turned on Disney HD and Disney HD came in no problem. So I was really kind of blown away that I was able to access all of this content. And I was just amazed by that. Now I hope I'm not kind of shooting myself in the foot here
and
somebody from RCN decides to pick up on this. Yeah, and just say, oh, well, screw these guys. I'm shutting that off now, you know?
Might be a temporary thing.
But I was really amazed. Yeah. So hopefully by that point, too, I'll have a 12-12, and then I won't have to worry about it anymore.
It would be nice, though, being able to access all those HD stations, even if it's, you know, no premium stuff. That's fine. If they keep the premium stuff locked up, I could live with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that as well.
Hell, yep. If I can hit 50, 60, you know, HD stations that are open, I'm happy as a pig in mud, man.
Yep.
And now I have
yep, I was really blown away.
And I have a PVR 12-12 waiting to go, so for those few channels that are encrypted and I couldn't get in the clear, that would be fine. I hope that stays permanent. I hope it's not a temporary thing.
I keep searching for the deals for on those 12-12s, too, so I can pick one of them up.
Yeah. Every so often, there's a website that I subscribe to, Geektonic, and it's like a home theater website. And the guy does a pretty nice job. Talks about all different applications and hardware and stuff and all different platforms, and he has like a deals section in there, and every so often whenever there's a sale on the PVR 1212 he posts it, so as soon as I see a new sale for that, I'll post it in our form, and I'll also let everybody know on Identica and Twitter about it too if I see it. So if you see a PVR 1212 coming down the pike for $150, man, definitely buy it. So
I'm kind of hoping that Dell deal comes around again with it, yeah, because I also get a discount through work, I found out now, too. So
yeah, it's been Dell the last few sales that I've heard. It's always Dell. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's them again. They must be moving quite a bit of those. That's a popular device. It's got pretty good support in other applications, too, on the other platforms. So I know Sage TV, it's supported in some of the other ones, too. So that's a good thing. PVR 1212 is going to be able to...
I just think everybody's gearing up for the MIF 22 release.
Yeah, yeah. We're looking forward to it. Now, one of the things about the upgrade is if you have some other front ends around the house, you're going to have to upgrade all of them for all of them to work together. If you have different versions, there's a hardware incompatibility.
Yeah.
They all have to be on the same version for them to communicate with each other. Now, another thing that's... I was talking to somebody on IRC, I forget who it was, a while back. They had... Their main system was a Mythbuntu install, and they had set up a front end using Linhas. For some reason, they weren't able to connect. They were running the same version of the software. He had everything set up correctly, as far as you could tell. And the issue that the guy ran into was the front end had a different time zone than the back end, and as soon as he changed the time zone to match the back end time zone, it worked fine. But that's a weird gotcha. That's a kind of a rare
one. Was it just a case where it wasn't set up, each wasn't set up as UTC?
I don't know what it was. That was probably what it was.
A case that each wasn't set up as UTC?
Yeah, I think the front end wasn't set correctly. Yeah. That's what the problem was. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah.
If you have problems, you're on the same version, you have front ends, and you know your password's correct, and your ID is correct, and it's still not communicating, that's just something to check up, you know, at some point to make sure it's it's not that.
Oh, I just wanted to finish up there with the analog cutoff, because I also had to redo my PC HDTV 5500 card as well. Now, previously, I found that when I scanned it, I got like six HD channels, which was ABC, CBS, CW, Fox, you know, NBC and PBS, and that was it. Now I have. When I originally did the scan, I got like 77 different channels coming across this thing. Some were standard def, some were high def, some were duplicates of each other. Like they're like a lot of the PBSs have like a couple different versions of it. Half of those, I would say, were like all of like the music channels that RCN offers. There's a block there that they have that's all just digital music, different genres and whatnot. I couldn't access any of those things. So I actually have about 40 different channels coming across now. Like I said, some HD, some standard def, and they all are working, and they work great. So I am, but with this analog cutoff, I'm really blown away by the amount of extra stuff that I got, and I want to give my hats off to RCN here. And I don't say that too often, as you know, we all bitched about it a long time ago, you know, a while ago in one of these earlier podcasts, but I want to give my hats off to RCN for kind of opening up this stuff. So
I reserve judgment.
But that's okay. Now I'm done. We can move on.
I reserve judgment until six months after the turnover.
Yeah, we'll see.
If that stuff is still open, then I'll give them, you know, kiss their asses to no end. But if they pull the same kind of deal where they shut everything down except over the year, I will be really disappointed. we'll play it by ear and go with the flow of it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically this week there was really
for the time being, I'm saying thank you.
Yeah, so Friday there was a really big announcement. Hulu announced that they have a client for Hulu for the Linux operating system. They offered an initial release for they have packages for Fedora as well as Ubuntu. They have 32 and 64-bit versions, which is great. I tried installing it on three different machines. I tried it on my laptop, which is running 32-bit. I tried installing it on my Mythbox, which is 64-bit. I also tried it on my workstation, and they all work great. I'm really excited, very happy that Hulu finally did this. For the longest time, people were like coding like third-party applications to go and like scrape Hulu's, you know, RSS feeds and whatnot, and their guides, and be able to access this stuff. And it was like a cat and mouse game. You know, somebody would code for it. It would work for a week or two. Then they would go and change something and break it. And then, you know, the programmers would come around with something else, and that would work for a couple weeks or a week or two or even a few days. And then they break it again. And basically Hulu said, you know, it was the content providers turning the screws on them, saying they couldn't offer third-party applications to reference their APIs and use them. So people had to use Hulu directly. Now, I'm not a big fan of Flash. You know, Flash is a closed proprietary video codec, and I'm not that into it. You know, I wish there was something open that was better than it. You know, Flash really is a resource hog when you're playing back Flash content and whatnot. I'm glad that there is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad there is a Linux player. You know, I'm glad that they've done that because there's a lot of content we won't be able to access if we didn't have a Linux client for it. You know, so I'm happy that they do that. It sucks that it's closed, but hey, you're able to access a whole crap load of content at no charge. So I think it's a positive that they've done this. And, you know, the fact that they consider Linux an equal to Windows and Mac, I think is a big, big testament of how much the Linux community has grown and how much sway we have now. So I'm very happy with it. I tried the application. The application works fantastic. It works great. I'm very happy with it. It even works with the remote control. It's fantastic.
Yep. Yeah, I set it up the other night. I was messing around with it, making sure that I had it set up right. And I want to say, you know, I'm also very glad that they are now, you know, looking at the Linux desktop as well as the other major desktops that are out there. And I want to say, all this stuff is probably running on Linux behind the scenes anyway. So I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't be supporting it either. You know, I integrated this with my Myth setup the other night, and aside from getting the right version of Flash installed, I actually had to go find a little script to pull down the latest one because the non-free plugin and whatnot that's listed in the repos didn't seem to work with it on my 64-bit system. So I did go down and pull down the latest, you know, Adobe, you know, Flash version 10. I found a nice little script that went through and did that, did it real nice and clean, removed any previous versions of it as well, if it found any. Once I got that set up, I did find that if I try to run it as myself for some reason, I could get it to come out, but no audio came out. I could get it to play on my high-definition TV, but no audio would come out. And I thought that was kind of odd. So I set up the binding, you know, the key binding in, or the menu entry in Myth TV, and was able to run it through Myth TV full screen, and had the and I was then able to get audio. I'm not sure why it's the same user anyway who's ultimately firing that, so I'm not sure why it was not, you know, being able to send it out over the SPDIF connection that I have, the optical connection that I have there. But hey, it seemed after I set it up inside of Myth, it seemed to be working fine. You know, I didn't have any issues with it. I could browse things very easily. I could use the remote control. I didn't have any issues with getting the remote control to work with it, because it only needs a few buttons anyway. It's more or less navigation and being able to exit out of it, pull up a menu, and that's pretty much it. So yeah, I'm really pleased with it. I did notice that there's a little bit of a lag in some of the video that comes through. Now, if I run it at a smaller resolution, I don't notice that. But when I explode it to be the size, I have a 56-inch, you know, high-definition screen. When I explode it to be the full size, I notice considerable, you know, lag in there. The buffer, if you bring up the one menu, it tells you how full the buffer is. The buffer was always full. I tried messing with the resolution, not the resolution, but the quality of it. They have to give you like a high, medium, and low quality. I tried knocking it down. It kind of fixed it somewhat. However, when you're looking at it on that high, on the full 56 inches, you know, of the screen, it just the quality just looks very, very fuzzy, you know. So it wasn't even worth it to watch it that, you know, that way. So I'm still trying to research a little bit of it with the with seeing if maybe I can increase that buffer size somewhere, or do something along that line. But otherwise, right now, I guess I'm happy with it. I just tend to run it right now at a little bit smaller resolution so I can kind of handle the stuttering that does take place with the video.
Right. When I watch it on my standard FTV, it looks fine and plays perfect, like I'm watching regular broadcast TV. You know, I guess because you're at a higher resolution, maybe you'll notice the pixelization and the weakness of the signal and whatnot. And you know, who knows how you're pushing, you
right?
Know, whatever your network setup is. I'm going all wired, so I don't have any lag or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah, the my Myth TV is hooked right into the router, and which is hooked right into the cable modem. So there's nothing in between it other than the router.
Right. The only issue, like you described, you know, with 64-bit, was it wasn't seeing my 64-bit install of the Flash Player. So there's a file in the home directory. What was it? Hulu Desktop, I think the name of it is.
Yeah, Hulu Desktop.
Yeah.
Dot Hulu Desktop.
Dot Hulu Desktop. Yeah. You go in there and you can say where you can point it to the actual location of where your Flash Player binary sits, and for 64-bit you have to explicitly state where it is. So you go in there and you put the directory structure and where the file's sitting, and then once I did that, it worked fine. You know, it plays okay. The only issue with the remote,
it prompts you right away if you don't have it right.
Yeah, you'll get a pop-up box saying it can't find it. Now the only other thing that I had to do to get the remote to work was I had to go into a file called /etc/hardware.config. This is on Ubuntu and Debian systems. On different systems, I think Fedora it's a little different. I think it's /etc/initd/lirc. So it's a little bit of a different structure than Fedora. It's been people have been talking about it on the MintTV users mailing list. So I went into the hardware configuration file, and there's an options called /lircd_options=, and default there's nothing in there. I just had to put a dash R in there, and then restarted my system, and then my remote was working. So that's nice to have. So basically, to get it integrated into Myth, it's pretty straightforward. The way Myth works is there all the menus are controlled by these XML files. There's a bunch of standard ones that you can go through. I went into the my media XML file. I went in there and I put an entry for Hulu. I'll post some links in the forum so that people can go in and do the same kind of setup. It's real simple. And once you have the menu set up, you know, you'll go into Myth and you'll click on that menu item for Hulu. What happens is it'll fire up the Hulu desktop player in full screen mode. You know, the remote will work as long as you get it going. You know, you could use the Hulu player, you watch your videos, you go scrolling through. And then what you do is you just hit exit to get out of there. And once you do the exit, it handles control back to the Myth TV front end, so it works real great. A lot of people are really positive about this, that it seems to be working. I'm glad that we have a stable Hulu player that's not going to be broken in a week, so I'm okay with this personally.
Yeah.
I know some of the distros, I saw that Cecil from Linhess, he posted on the Myth TV users mailing list, and he already had all set up and ready to go for Linhess, like within a day, so Linhess users can set it up really simple. And I'm sure Mythbuntu will probably do something too in Mythora as well.
I hope so. I imagine a plugin would be easy to fashion, you know, to provide this integration. There is one other piece of this that I did run into, is that after about, what is it, like 10 minutes or so, the screensaver would blank the screen and you'd have to go and actually, you know, hit a key on a keyboard or something like that to wake it back
that
up. So I'm still
that
looking into that as well. Yeah, but I like to have it on because, like, if somebody, like, is down here watching it and they walk away from it for, you know, a couple hours, I don't want to have it, you know, running constantly on the on the high definition screen there.
Yeah,
I want that
screen
to actually
burn.
Shut it down. Yeah. So I did a little looking today. There are some scripts out there that it kind of like wraps, you know, they do this for Firefox, so that if you actually were watching Firefox, a Flash video on Firefox in full screen, that you can wrap it with some, you know, some gconf commands to go in and actually disable the screensaver and to re-enable it once you actually exit out of the application. So that's something that I'm looking into. I might have to just write a little script around launching the Hulu desktop that does these commands. So I'll have to once I get something more definite, then I'll have to, you know, post that as well.
Yeah, I don't know what the structure for like the menus is in 0.22, but I have to think that the devs are looking to include this in some fashion so that it's easy to integrate.
Yeah.
I'm ecstatic, man. You know, having Hulu content that you're able to go in directly through Myth is great. And it works with a remote control. It's a godsend. You can do it from your living room. It's absolutely great. I know free software purists are against Flash and whatnot. You know, like I said, if there's something better comes along, I'll use it. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Flash. It's a bit of a resource hog. But it's opening up a world of content. They're not charging for it. So I don't have a problem with it. And it's Hulu's nice because if there's a show you forget to record, you could just go to Hulu and watch it. You know, most of the network shows, they'll leave like, I don't know, the last five or six episodes. You know, if you need to go back further than that, you're going to have a problem. But if it's just, you know, recent shows that you missed, it's a great place to go and watch some stuff. Plus, there's a ton of stuff on there that I can't find anywhere. Like, you know, growing up, I was a big fan of the old Buck Rogers series with Gil Gerard and Aaron Gray.
Right.
I love that show, you know, Twiggy, Beady, 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 you know. I love that show.
Yep.
It's great going back and being able to watch those old episodes on there, you know, as you please. And there's a ton of other programs on there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm really excited to start.
I think the original Battlestar.
I'm really excited to start looking at some of that stuff.
Yeah, the original Battlestar Galactica is on there. Alf is on there, so I'm sure you're happy.
Hey, come on. That was just a test that one time.
Alf is funny. I used to watch that when I was a kid. I remember that.
It was. Yeah.
It's a cute show. But there's a lot of cool stuff. There's even some movies in there that you can watch. I saw one. A really good movie is Super Size Me. It's the guy who does that show 30 Days on FX. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a documentary about this. Basically, the only thing he eats for 30 days is McDonald's every meal. You know, by the end of the month, he's getting like kidney
failure. Literally practically dies. Yeah.
Gained like 30 pounds.
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny stuff. But there's a ton of good stuff on there. Definitely check it out. It's great that it runs on Linux, and it's even greater that it's fairly simple to get it integrated into Myth setup. It's real nice. I'm sure the same kind of deal with XBMC and Boxy. I'm sure those guys are jumping all over it too. So it's good times, you know, positive stuff. So you got anything else to talk
about? All in all, man, we've had a good couple of weeks. I was going to say, all in all, we've had a good couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The OLF and all these changes that appear to be coming down the line from RCN and now Hulu and whatnot. That's a good three things coming our way.
Yeah, if you're into media, multimedia on Linux, man, it's good times. So I'm pretty psyched, you know, for 22 to come out. That's the next big thing on the horizon.
Me too. I can't wait.
It's gonna be good.
At least with Mythbuntu, it should push right as Karmic Koala gets released.
I hope it doesn't go past that.
I know right
that.
Now they already have it included. Yeah, me too.
That might cause some problems if they go past it and they have to push out a beta on the final release. My guess is they're going to hold off.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess. They would hold off with Ubuntu. They wouldn't release with the regular Ubuntu release if they had to. They'd probably wait a couple weeks, I think.
Yeah, if they're very close, I would tend to agree with that.
They're very close. They got to be very, very close. The bugs are down. They're down below 30, you know?
That's great.
So it's got to be imminent. It's got to be very close. So the only thing that's going to happen from, you know, once this happens, I'm going to retire the PVR-150 card. So I'm going to see if I can use that. Maybe we can use that for, like, screencasting or something. We can do some kind of a screencast setup using that card.
That'd be a good idea, yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. I'll slap it in my workstation and do some screencasting. So I'll find some use out of that. Yeah, people have been pitching in RCN about this old digital transition that they have to have a cable box now. And I can understand, you know, some people that just want basic. They don't want to rent the box. It sucks that the cable company has, like, a monthly rental for the cable boxes. You know, the satellite companies don't do that.
Well, I think with this transition, if they were going to require that all TVs have it, all the standard def boxes should have been at no cost then. That's what I feel should have happened there. Let them still charge for the HD boxes and for the HD DVRs that they offer, you know, but if you're requiring everybody to have a box, then they should have opened up at least the standard def option to people at no cost.
Right, and you just get basic.
I think it would have made a lot of people a lot more happier.
Yeah, people were complaining.
Yep.
Big time. There's a form that they have in there. I think it's DSL reports, so you can go in by different cable company in different regions, and people were bitching about it big time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should kill the rental fee for the standard F-Box. I'm with you. It was amazing. Like, my dad, he's in New York, and he's got Time Warner. Time Warner doesn't charge any difference between the standard F-Box and the high def box. All you do is you bring your standard F-Box in, you trade it in for a high def box. Same exact deal.
That's awesome. Other companies should kind of take that option as well. You know, if they're going to require you, then they should just make them all one price, or just eliminate the standard def ones altogether. You know, let them, you know, just do something a little better. You're forcing this on everybody. You should make it a little better for people.
I'm sure they're going to lose a few subscribers because of that.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, so
I think I even saw a report the other day indicating that they expect people to, just because of this.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
They expect to lose, you know, it was even upwards of like 30% or something.
Really?
Like that. I may have that number wrong, but I think that they were saying, yeah, that people are going to be pissed off by this and people are going to switch or just, you know, drop it altogether. So, but that number might have been a little high. It sounds a little high.
I think maybe 10% maybe. I think that's a little more realistic, 10%.
Yeah, that could be.
I'm looking at the Hulu website here. For the site where they have the Hulu, it's www.hulu.com/labs/Hulu-desktop-Linux. The requirements are GTK 212 or higher, glib 2.16 or higher, and if you want your remote to work, LIRC 082 or higher. And of course, Flash.
And a lot of that stuff's pretty standard on most desktops.
Yeah, GTK and glib, yeah.
Most distributions, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Very happy with the HD Home Run. Highly recommend to everybody. Get one. Great dual tuner setup. People report that it works great with over the air. It works very well with digital cable stations that are open. I'm curious to see how many of those new HD channels I'm going to be able to get in now once it goes all digital. I hope it's more than the 6 I currently get. That would be
well. I went and looked up the HD Home Run website because you had mentioned to me about them having all the information out there, and I used that as somewhat of a guide when I rescanned my channels, and they are pretty darn close. They are pretty darn close to what I'm able to actually process through that FireWire connection. I'm sorry, through the wire connection on my PC HDTV 5500 card. So I was really impressed with all that was out there, that especially with what the HD Home Run website had specifically for my zip code.
See, I'm looking at the site myself now, and I really don't see anything different to what I currently have. Maybe because it's accurate, and you know, I haven't gone through the transition yet. So I'm sure that'll change once the transition goes through. You know, just looking at it, it's just over-the-air stuff that seems to be all shown. So
right.
So I'm sure that'll change, hopefully. So I'm all talked out, man. I'm getting over a cold.
Yeah, I believe it will.
And my throat is killing me. So if you want to talk about something else, Dan, go at it, man. I'm good right now. I've talked about it.
I'm good. I hit every. I'm saying I'm very happy. I you know with everything that's been going on. So I'm going to kind of live in this moment here for a little bit and then, you know, start looking at something else.
Yeah, I'm looking. It looks like it's changed. I'm looking at what they have listed here, and I see some other stuff in here. I see NHL. That's an HD station. NHL 1, Game HD. Is that a new channel, NHL channel?
Yeah, I think they had, like, an NHL pack. I think I have, like, 9 of them now.
Yeah, looks like one of them.
I think they have them all for like there's Major League Baseball, there's National Hockey League, there's a football one as well for the NFL. So yeah, and I believe they also run that way for NBA and I believe also for some NCAA stuff.
Let's see. Let me change. Wow, 107 RCN. You ain't kidding. You ain't kidding, man. There's a lot of
here. Put your log into Gmail. I'm going to shoot you my my address so you can log into the front end or to the website, and then you'll be able to see all my channels that are on there.
I see like a lot of the it looks like the over the air stuff. CSN, yeah, that's a sports station, right? Game 11.
Make sure you're looking at the cam channels too. You're looking at the cam channels, right?
Yeah.
Because they have the difference between the terrestrial and the 256 cam channels.
Yeah, it looks like it's quite a bit more. Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad they've added some. They should.
Yeah, I was amazed.
There is no reason why they don't do that. You know, honestly.
No. Mm-mm. The stuff is publicly available. Hell, most of these networks also provide it online in some way or another. Even like I mentioned the Disney stuff before, between every show that my daughter watches on Disney, it says, "Oh, get a parent and take them to Disney.com if you want to watch Handy Manny, you know, anytime you want to, you know." So I mean, what is the point of locking this stuff down when most of these companies are putting it out there for you anyway? You know, this is just allowing a new round of, you know, new round of devices and whatnot to get access to this stuff.
Yeah, there really is no reason why this stuff isn't open. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever. That's good. Well, we got a little bit of a few minutes shorter show. Not by much, a couple of minutes. Everybody, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Nope.
You know, lots of good stuff this week. I'm sure there'll be some more good stuff. Hopefully Myth 22 comes out by the next time we talk. And we'll be talking about setting up 022.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I look forward to that. So, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See you later, everyone.